You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I would like to thank our sponsors today, Smart Business Magazine and Succession Strategies, for bringing you the show. This business talk show airs live on Tuesday and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. If you're listening to the show in the future as a podcast, then let me say thank you on behalf of all of us here at Critical Mass, the radio show, for making this program a part of your business day. We'd also like to encourage you to consider listening to the show live, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience of CEOs and business executives, to make better business decisions. And I do that by interviewing thought leaders from around Orange County and Southern California and possibly other parts of the country who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences that I believe you can learn from. That is certainly the case today with our two guests. And we're going to get to our first guest in a minute. But if you're listening to this program live, then I would encourage you to consider finding the community chat room section of octalkradio.net's website. Once you're on that page, you can log in, and that will connect you right to the nerve center of this radio program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the nerve center, I said. That is our producer, Paul Roberts. Not the nervous center, the nerve center. And he will communicate with you and possibly bring some of your questions or thoughts to mind, to my mind, so that I might be able to ask our guest today. Speaking of our guests, our first guest is Luke Coopersmith. And I said in the newsletter that went out that we're going to be discussing his firm's business model and how other companies, prospects, discover from working with his firm, Source Consulting, that they might be able to realize significant savings on their shipping costs without any risk to their business by virtue of working with his firm. So I know that you're interested in learning how he does this and what it's meant to his firm's fantastic growth. And yes, we're going to talk about that today here on the radio program. So let me welcome to the radio show, Luke. Luke, welcome to the program.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's begin by asking you very simply to share with us your professional experience, kind of your background that led you to Source Consulting.
Sure. Prior to starting Source Consulting, which occurred back at the end of 2004, I was working in financial services, mutual funds, life insurance, annuities, things of that sort, and doing that in relation to just wealthy individuals and businesses. So really no connection whatsoever to what I'm doing now, aside from the fact that it deals with money and business practices.
So how did you get into Source? How did you have the vision to start Source Consulting then?
I wish it was a logical explanation, but really it was more of an accident than anything. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it has become a very good thing. Source has really been growing a lot and become pretty well placed in our industry. But my business partner and I at the time had just started an online dropship apparel company and had the bright idea for Source Consulting's business model and decided that we would give two startup businesses a go at the same time. So we did that for about 3 years and then ended up selling off the clothing business and focusing it exclusively on Source Consulting.
Did you think that Source Consulting, when you decided to begin your second startup, would outlast your first startup, or what was your thinking at the time?
I think there was there really wasn't a lot of thought put into, I don't think, the longevity or the exit plan for either company. I think that we just, being novices somewhat in the entrepreneurial world, we had a couple ideas we were excited about and decided that at the time we thought it was a good idea to try and make them both happen, which I think will lead into maybe some of the other things we get to today, but definitely not something that I would recommend to anybody, that being starting two companies at the same time.
What is it that Source Consulting, I teased the audience a little bit with the intro, certainly in the newsletter as well, but in your own words, Luke, what is it that your firm does? What services do you provide for your clients?
I think we've got a pretty cool story to tell at this point of the solutions that we're able to deliver. There are four core competencies or cornerstone solutions that we've got within our offering. We do a lot of things and can do a lot more than those four. And even within the four, they can look different. But we essentially live with the life cycle of a shipment. On the front end, we're able to walk into a business and look at the rates that they have negotiated with their carriers, their shipping carriers, and help them identify opportunities for cost savings within those negotiated rates. And then optimizing that carrier network, helping them implement best-in-class carrier prices. Then they go to ship a package. We've got a technology called IntelliShip that is a SaaS shipping system. So effectively, for any given shipment, IntelliShip will identify the mode, carrier, and service level that is the best option, typically the low-cost option, for that shipment to move. And then once the shipment is moving, it's left the company's dock. Our technology, Halo, aggregates all information relative to all shipments moving with all carriers. So a company may have thousands or tens of thousands of shipments moving all across the world at any given moment. And Halo pulls in all information relative to all of those shipments with all carriers at all times and can deliver that information to anyone who has the right or need to know. And then at the point at which that package has landed on the customer's door and the company receives a bill for that shipment, we've got an auditing service that can come in and ensure that every single line item on that carrier invoice is accurate. Anything shouldn't be there, we can go back to the carrier, having identified that refund opportunity, and ensure that it gets credited back to the customer's account. And then we do it all over again. So effectively living with the life cycle of every shipment on four fronts.
So for those guests that are listening to the program live, or maybe in the future off of Stitcher or iTunes as a podcast, what type of shipment volumes, annual shipment spend, do they have, Luke, to talk to your firm about kind of the services that you provide?
Honestly, we can work with any volume of shipper. Typically, it's not really warranted until a company is spending at least $250,000 or more on shipping. That's usually indicative of a volume where our services would begin to produce substantial, value. Mm-hmm. But we do have some customers smaller, and then certainly we've got customers that spend tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars a year on transportation.
Interesting business model, and we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. We're going to take our first sponsorship break, Luke. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to share with our audience of all the things you've learned in business, the lessons that you've learned and the experiences that you've had, what is your guiding principle that you're using today to lead and grow Source Consulting? So ladies and gentlemen, Luke will be sharing that and answers to other questions when we return to the program here on Critical Mass. But first, here are some words from our sponsors.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plan and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Luke Cooper Smith is my guest, and we're talking about his firm, Source Consulting, as well as the next question on the docket is his guiding principle. Luke, would you care to share that with our audience, please?
Sure. I have learned in my run here at Source Consulting over the last 7 years just the importance of focus. And I mentioned that at the outset of Source Consulting, there was another business venture, another startup that we tried to tackle and did so for simultaneous with Source Consulting for about 3.5 years or so. And just the idea of focus, there are lots of good ideas out there, and certainly I've got lots for the direction of our business, but you only have so much energy, so much time, so much resource to invest, and if that gets spread thin, ultimately everything suffers. And so I feel like one of the resounding reasons that we've had such explosive growth over the last 3 to 4 years has been just our decision to focus on this business and take it from okay to great. And speaking to that, we've grown over 750% over the last few years, and that a direct consequence of what I see our decision to focus on Source Consulting resulting in.
That is a powerful message, and I'm looking for learning moments or teachable opportunities here on the radio program, and that is one of them, because it is easy as an entrepreneur, especially when you start to get a little bit of success in the one endeavor, to start thinking you should be branching out or diversifying. And I'm encouraged to hear you say that, because hopefully there are other entrepreneurs out there listening to this program that can learn from your vetted experience. Question as it relates to the here and now, and that's about a current challenge that might be facing Source Consulting, that you are facing, frankly, and that What are you doing? What is the conflict? What is the challenge? And what are you doing about it to mitigate that from affecting your future growth plans?
When we first started Source Consulting, there really were not that many contingency-based solution providers in the transportation space. So both on the negotiation front, improving and optimizing the rates that a company has and then auditing the shipping bills, we do that on contingency. So we don't get paid unless we have actually put a dollar or many dollars back into our customer's pocket, and then we get paid out of that. And there really were not that many providers in the space. So we were, although we weren't the first, we were amongst the first. And over the last few years, there's absolutely been an influx of competition. And so one of the things that we've really been working on is ensuring that our story, as I referred to it before, just the solutions and the value that we're able to deliver, that it doesn't become commoditized. And it's been not necessarily a struggle, but a challenge, and a good challenge, I would say, because it's something that's driving us to continuously improve and stay ahead of that curve.
You never we had a peer group meeting this morning, and one of the members who runs the business, who's been in business for 10 years, made the statement, and everybody agreed with him. You're really never done with working on your business model, because you always need to be improving it and making sure that it is relevant in the marketplace. I don't know of any business that once you achieve your business model, you can kind of coast and just milk it for a while or let it run as is.
I would 100% agree with that. I think at the point that you think you've arrived as a business is probably the point at which you start to die. and I would certainly hope for our business, and definitely believe is true of any business, that there's never a point where you get there and you're done unless you're leaving the business altogether. You've got to innovate, and you've got to remain relevant, and not those are moving targets, and if you're not moving, you're going to get left behind.
You kind of used words that lead me to want to ask you a follow-up question, which is about the four elements. I've been working on researching sort of what the key strategies the companies are using, mid-market companies, to continue to drive growth as they move through different revenue plateaus. And there are four of them around being relevant, authentic, agile, and innovative, and you've kind of used those words in your previous answers. Luke, I guess I just want to ask you if there's anything else around those concepts that you've seen become self-evident, if you will, in how Source Consulting has realized its growth and how you continue to be able to move it through different revenue plateaus?
Honestly, I think all four of those things have been critical to every stage, beginning stages and current stages. Being relevant, we wouldn't have grown 750% over the past few years if our services weren't relevant, especially being that our revenue growth is a direct derivative of taking a piece of what we've saved our customers. Our services are highly relevant. Being authentic, the credibility of our expertise is absolutely a supporting factor to a company's decision of whether or not to do business with us, or even before that, whether or not to reach out to us. If they perceive us to be a credible source of information, that is highly supportive of their decision to potentially use one and or all of our services. And our industry is changing a lot, and the ability to be agile has been critical to us remaining in business. There have been some big changes over the last few years, especially in the UPS FedEx space, that have put a lot of our competition under, and we have not. We have thrived in it, in the midst of it, because we've been agile, and obviously innovation, being innovative, is critical to staying ahead of competition. So I agree with you 100% that all those things are very relevant to really any stage of business.
Great. I appreciate the – I knew that when just as I've gotten to know you and your business, you can tell when they're alive and well and working in companies, not just by the results but by the way the leaders kind of approach the market and talk about their business. And I had a strong sense that this information would resonate with you and you'd be able to give us kind of connection to your business. So we've got about 5 minutes left in the interview, and I have two questions for you. The next one is kind of my painful business lesson. I really enjoy this question because many times when guests have one, and most guests do, regardless of how long ago it's happened, it sounds like it just happened last night. So if you can think back to a time in your career where you learned a really valuable business lesson, but it came through a difficult, challenging time, would you relate that to our audience and sort of the lesson learned?
At the risk of being a broken record, which I'm not trying to be, but I think that it does emphasize the importance of the idea, just going back to lack of focus. There is only so much activity, or rather so much energy and resource to go around, and ultimately success and productivity require activity, and activity requires energy and resource. And the reason why we almost went under a handful of years ago is because we were spreading our resources, our energy, our money, our people, and spreading them across too many planes, too many opportunities that we were chasing. And as a result of that, if we had not made some hard decisions and let some things that we had invested in and were at a point where we were underwater, so to speak, if we had not made some tough decisions to let those things go and to focus, then Source Consulting would not be what it is today, which I think was an extremely valuable lesson, at least in my life and my business career.
Again, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, especially if you're in that early entrepreneurial stage when you can choose to do anything you want with the business, and I think that ties really well back to the first part of, you know, the four elements in the critical mass company being relevant, you really need to be a dominant player in a niche as a small company or even a mid-market company in today's world to be able to command anything more than commodity pricing. And your, when I hear your focus conversation, I think of really going back to being relevant in a market and making sure that you've kind of become a known commodity in that market before you choose to go off into other areas, either related or unrelated to the business.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about the future, Luke. What's the growth opportunity for Source Consulting? You have this multifaceted service offering now. Yep. Where do you see the future, and how do you stay relevant and continue to grow the company? We're going to have you back in the future. What are you going to be telling us about Source Consulting that's different, bigger than it is today?
I'm excited kind of on all fronts right now. You know, we've just gone through a really difficult economic time, and the relevance of cost-saving services has certainly shined. And as the economy pulls out of what has been not so great into something better than, people are shipping more packages, and the relevance of cost savings is still right there. We're really excited about the technologies that we've incorporated into our offering, those being IntelliShip and Halo, the shipping system and the visibility hub. That's relatively new, coming into our offering end of last year through an asset acquisition of a technology company. And there was a recent study done by an industry magazine, a pretty prominent magazine within our industry, that said that 51% of companies out there say they would never consider using the type of services that Source Consulting provides obviously the study wasn't directed towards Source Consulting, but just speaking generally about what we do and the fact that 51% of companies out there wouldn't consider using that type of service. I look at that and just see huge opportunity because our services are relevant to those 51% of companies, just like they are to the other 49%. And if 51% are at the stage where they wouldn't consider, I'd love to have conversations with them and get them to reconsider. So I think we've got a great story to tell, and we're growing, and I'm excited. And there's a lot of companies that need us.
The acquisition of you, of the technology company, is that the first acquisition that Source Consulting has made?
It was, yes.
How long ago did that happen?
End of 2011. So it's still within the first year.
Okay. Would you give to our audience sort of the benefit of 5 months of your experience in doing an acquisition? If there was one thing that you would suggest that they make sure they do to make the acquisition successful, because I take it that this integration and acquisition is successful. It's a part of your product offering now. But just give us the benefit of your experience.
Well, we're still a work in progress, as we will always be. But I think one of the things that made this acquisition so great is although it was an introduction of a couple of new things, it still fit within our focus, going back to focus again. It was not an acquisition that took us into an entirely different space. It enhanced the same story that we've been telling, the story that we can deliver cost savings, we can deliver efficiencies, and these technologies are an expansion of that same story, making us all the more well-rounded and all the more relevant. So I think that, again, going to the focus concept, that if we do another acquisition, certainly with this acquisition, the reason why it made so much sense for us was because it allowed us to continue in the same vein that we've been in, just be a little bit louder and a little bit more relevant. And naturally, innovation via the technology element makes us different. Our story is different.
I want to thank you for the time you put into preparing to be our guest, the number of teachable moments that you share with us during the program, and wish you and the firm continued success, and look forward to having you back on the program in the future to talk about what Source Consulting is becoming. So thank you, Luke Cooper-Smith. I appreciate your time. Welcome to the community.
Thanks, Rick. It was a pleasure.
Have a good day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have two dynamic guests, and Luke was definitely our first, and our second guest, Aaron Giglia, will be on in just a minute from Montage Legal Group, and what an exciting business model she and her partner have developed. I can't wait to explore it with her, but first, here are some messages from our sponsors.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth.
As I said in our newsletter when we sent it out, that Erin is going to be on the show because she and her business partner have created a nationwide network of experienced freelance attorneys who all have very impressive credentials and also who all value the professional and personal life balance that one must have to kind of in their life to achieve happiness. And so I'm so impressed with the business that they're building that I've been waiting to have Erin on our program for some time. So Erin, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thanks, Rick. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your professional background, the things that you did that predate the start of Montage Legal Group.
Sure. After I graduated from law school in 2001, I started my legal career with Brobeck, Flager & Harrison, which was an outstanding firm nationwide, but unfortunately was a dot-com bust victim. So immediately after there, I went over to Snell & Wilmer in 2002, where I stayed until 2009. Snell & Wilmer is an excellent and well-respected full-service law firm headquartered out in Phoenix, Arizona. I was here in Orange County. I was very fortunate to be trained by extremely bright and well-respected lawyers. I've mainly practiced business litigation and product liability defense litigation, which I also continue to do at an Orange County boutique firm called Hewitt Wolinsky.
So, basically,
law firms.
Yeah, great. And right in our wheelhouse, because business owners and CEOs are the people that listen to Critical Mass, the radio show. What was the inspiration for you and Laurie to begin Montage Legal Group?
Sure. Well, first I'll kind of explain a little bit about what we do. Montage Legal Group is a freelance attorney network, which is extremely unique in the legal marketplace. So Lori Rowan, my business partner, we both left Snell & Wilmer after we started families. I really struggled with the decision to leave such a great firm because I wanted to continue my career and use my legal training, which I worked extremely hard to get. But at the same time, I also wanted to have a little bit more flexibility on the family side. Lori and I knew other attorneys who started doing freelance legal work for law firms, and decided that we'd like to try to do that together, to stay in the legal market, but with some support, and to make sure that our law firm clients were always covered. Not much time went by when other very well-qualified attorneys, very similarly situated, asked if they could join our group. We added our third attorney in 2010, and as of today, we're at almost 50 former big firm lawyers. We've received hundreds of resumes, all from exceptionally trained and qualified lawyers wanting to freelance with us. Our model, like I mentioned, is very unique. What we do, though, is simple. We basically do hourly work for law firms that are too busy for their current staff, but not busy enough to hire more lawyers. Because we have very little overhead, we're able to charge extremely reasonable rates, which law firms can then pass on to their clients. Law firm clients ultimately get an excellent work product by a very experienced lawyer at a much lower rate than they would normally be paying by using a law firm associate. The Montage freelance lawyer is happy to be able to use her legal training in a flexible environment. The law firm is happy to get help as needed without having to hire, and the law firm's client is happy because they get, like I mentioned, the excellent product for a very low price. Clients also like it that their law firms are willing to think creatively to get the job done right, but at the lowest possible cost. I think we've all heard people complaining about the high cost of legal bills. So we're trying to do what we can to help alleviate that issue. We are particularly different because of our model. We're not a law firm because we don't represent companies directly, but we're not a staffing company or a placement agency either. We only take lawyers who could be working in the most prestigious law firms if they so chose, but they really want to do freelance work as a lifestyle choice, usually because the schedule is very flexible. Second, our lawyers are all 100% vetted by education, training, references, and personal interaction. We know all of our lawyers. When a law firm comes to us with a project, we can match them with the right freelance attorney or attorneys by specialty area and by personality, which I think is completely different than what anyone else is ever doing. Many of our pairings have developed into continuous work and even some friendships. Finally, one of our main goals is to help our attorneys advance their careers while they're on this alternative path. We do this by actively featuring our attorneys on our website, writing about them, and helping them find writing and speaking opportunities so they're continuing to build their resumes. Because these lawyers have every choice in the world, we really want Montage to make sense for them, and we always want to do right by our own people.
I'm fascinated that so many professional attorneys would choose this alternate career path, although I think with this economy and people are rethinking the traditional model. But I'm almost more fascinated by the fact that you're able to keep 50-plus professional attorneys busy at some level of activity. That must mean that the model, as you're presenting it to the other law firms, is being really well received. Could you spend a minute and sort of talk to us from your client's perspective? What's the advantage of doing business with you? Why does this make so much sense to them as well?
That's a really good question, and quite honestly, it's something that we didn't even anticipate at the beginning of our business. This model makes so much sense to law firms on a lot of different levels. It can help the solo practitioner who just is too busy and needs a vacation, or it can help a law firm that might need a little bit of extra help from a specialty area that they might have a little bit of weakness in, but they want to continue to serve their current client. Like sometimes with lawyers, clients build a relationship with a particular attorney, and they like working with that person. So they don't want to have to go and find someone else to handle a different area of law. They like to continue to work with the same person or the same firm, but not every lawyer or every firm can do everything. So what we do is we're able to give them someone to add a little bit of expertise in a particular area, either to handle a project or have an ongoing relationship with the firm so that they can continue to serve their own client without having to send them away to someone else. Not only that, but we've found that because of the economy and the recession that we're now recovering from, clients have been extremely reluctant and hesitant to pay the big lawyer bills. It is tough. The recession's affected everyone. Everyone's just scrutinizing bills a lot more carefully. So when law firms are able to come up with a creative solution by bringing in help, but without the overhead and without all of the other issues that come with hiring full-time, they're able to pass those savings on to their clients. Clients love that. They love when their lawyers are trying to save them money. So that's worked out really well. And in addition to that, we've realized that we're able to help the much smaller firm grow at a measured rate to help them succeed. We're able to be included and help with client pitches. So if a big case comes in and a law firm wants to get it, a smaller firm is able to compete because they're able to present to their client that they actually have kind of an on-call staff almost of very, very well-qualified attorneys who can come in and help them ramp up to handle a big case that they normally wouldn't be staffed to handle.
So tell me, Aaron, when you and Laurie sat at one of your kitchens or wherever it was and you wrote out this business plan or visualized the future, did you think May of 2012 you would be nationwide with 50-plus attorneys?
Never. We at the beginning, well, I think Laurie is the one who really conceptualized this business model, and this is, she calls it her baby, but it really is. No, I don't think we did. I think that we thought that it would be the two of us for a while, and maybe we'd bring in some friends. And because of luck or, you know, whatever it is, a business model that makes sense on so many levels, it has snowballed quite a bit more quickly than we would have ever anticipated. We could, I think, right now be easily 250 lawyers if we were able to grow. And, you know, if we were at this for a little bit longer, but we're trying to keep the reins on growth to make sure that we're doing everything right and get a good handle on how we're handling things now before we move on too quickly.
That's, I look for teachable moments and learning events, and you gave another one. Growth is great, but it comes with its own set of challenges, and some of them can be very daunting and almost challenging to the business model itself. If it's not controlled growth, it can do more damage certainly in the short term than good if you don't properly have control of your own growth.
Exactly.
All right, let's look back at you a little bit and talk to us about your guiding principle, you know, your overarching belief system about how Montage Legal Group is being led and what the future holds. So just what are your set of kind of priorities for the business? I call them your guiding principle.
Well, it's actually very simple. Laurie and I constantly strive to do two things. The first thing is to keep it happy. We try to keep everything happy. And the second thing is to just do what makes sense. Every decision that we make is trying to bring sense back into law, because law, it can be a very confusing industry. I mean, insert hundreds of lawyer jokes here. Everyone complains about law and lawyers. Lawyers are stressed. Sometimes they're miserable. Clients complain that lawyers are too expensive or spend too much time. Laurie and I have tried to create a model that brings some sense back into all of this. We try to help the lawyers in our group find high-level, challenging legal work, but on a flexible schedule. That's number one. Number two, we help busy lawyers and law firms to get the extra help that they need, that they desperately need in certain instances, without hiring risk. And we do that to allow that law firm to get provide excellent client service for their clients at a lower cost to their clients. So we're making sense to the lawyers in our group. We're making sense to the law firms that we work for, and we're making sense to their clients. We're trying to create and achieve a system that lends to happy lawyers, happy law firms, and happy clients. Imagine that in law, happiness. On a personal level, like I mentioned, Laurie and I are constantly guided by what we call keeping it happy. We both left a very secure job path to carve out our own way. So every decision that we make is based on what's going to make us happy, make our lawyers happy, and our law firm clients happy. We get the firms the help that they need. So like I said, the solo practitioner can go on vacation, we'll step into second chair of trial, or even to help a firm pitch a potential client. We brainstorm and find creative solutions with clients when they need it. It's been incredibly satisfying to know that several of our law firm clients have actually been retained specifically because they're working with Montage Legal Group. Our clients love that we're able to provide a service that is helpful across their own business model. So we basically just try to do right by all of our people and by all of our clients.
That is a powerful concept, happiness, and I'm glad it is such a prominent feature of your guiding principle and your business model, because as the entrepreneur and founders of your company, why wouldn't you create a business that makes you happy? Why would you do anything other than that? And I'm glad to hear that it's such a prominent part of what you both are doing.
It's nice to feel helpful. Definitely.
Let's talk about a valuable business lesson that you've learned in your career, and it came out of what might have been a difficult or trying experience. Is there one that comes to mind?
Right now we're challenged by, like I said before, trying not to grow too big, too fast. As far as lessons from a trying experience, I think, well, first of all, Lori and I are both extremely honest and open people, probably to a fault. We're constantly trying to help everyone who reaches out to us. We spent hundreds of hours counseling lawyers, trying to help them find the best career paths for them, and have been pretty open about what we're doing. This has sometimes created a couple of they say that imitation is the highest form of flattery, but at first it doesn't feel that great when someone turns around and attempts to copy your business. This has happened to us a couple of times, and at first it wasn't the greatest moment for us, but we've learned to really be at peace with it because we are extremely selective in the attorneys that we bring into our group. We realize that we can't take everyone, and that the other lawyers who want to freelance, they need support and help too. So when other companies come up and try to do the same business, we're ultimately happiest with just continuing to be open and honest and as helpful as we can be, and hopefully it'll circle back.
It is a challenge when people copy your business model, but I do think that businesses find their own place in the market.
And exactly.
Usually, if there's more than one of a service provider, it sort of almost helps the other providers in that space because it legitimizes and creates, it's almost easier for some people to make decisions when they have a couple choices when, you know, you're the only game in town. That feels to some clients a little risky to the, why aren't there more than just one of you? So maybe over the longer term, the arc of the business career, having a few competitors, they'll find their own place in the market, and maybe it helps your growth even accelerate further.
Exactly. And like I said, we're just not ever going to be a 1,000 lawyer company. So because we're not able to grow and take everyone into our group, there has to be other options for these other lawyers.
You know, you say insert lawyer jokes here, just the concept of 1,000 lawyers, it's right for a joke. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but
believe me, it could happen.
So we're kind of up against the clock a little bit, but I did want you to share yours, and I know I say you, but I know it's you and Lori, the vision for the future. I'm going to have you back on the program. Maybe I'll have you both back the next time. And what's Montage Legal Group going to be? What do you see as the longer-term future for the business model that you two have created?
Well, I actually do see us expanding into other markets. We currently have several attorneys who are located outside of California, which is very recent. And with the right people and an extremely cautious process, I think that will continue. It can only grow from here. It's been extremely successful so far, and as long as we get the right people with the right credentials in the right markets, there's simply no reason why we couldn't enter several other marketplaces. Growth potential really is completely limitless, which can be daunting, but at the same time, extremely exciting. So Lori and I are just trying to really do this in the most efficient and, you know, the best way that we can to grow in a way that makes sense and not get in over our heads, not make any poor choices along the way, as impossible as that may be. We'll certainly try.
Well, I think it is great to have an entrepreneur on the program who, with her partner, are really creating a niche, a brand of service that maybe heretofore hasn't been available. And I really am excited to have you back in the future, because early returns. The business has only been in existence for a couple of years, and look at the progress that you both have made. So I wish you continued success. Thank you for the time that you've put into preparing to be our guest. Welcome to the Critical Mass community. And I had some other questions that I wanted to ask you today, but just given the time, I wasn't able to do it. You're definitely going to have to come back on Critical Mass, the radio show, Erin.
That would be great, Rick. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Have a good day.
You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Erin Giglia of Montage Legal Group. If you haven't been to their website, I would strongly encourage you to spend some time with them. I should have asked her for the website, but just Google the name and it will come up. I want to say thank you for being a part of the radio program. Continue the listening. Tell your friends about Critical Mass, the radio show, designed for CEOs and business owners to help you make better decisions. This is Rick Franzi, the host of the program, saying until the next time we have a chance to talk, here's hoping that all of your business decisions move your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, the radio show only on Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.